November 25th, 2018, it's a lot from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Why for Pedro Show. Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. Brother Matt is up in Joshua Tree because Meat Puppets are playing Pappy and Harriet's. Yeah, Kirk Kirkwood, Austin resident for the last bunch of years. And I'm not man alone here in Pedro because of the wondrous genius of those Estonian software engineers who came up with Skype. I got Mr. Paul Leary with me from Austin. Welcome aboard, Paul.
Hello, Mike. It's good to be with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got, well, we're going to talk about this project you got called Cocky Bitches later on. But let me tell people what they just heard. John Coltrane doing Little Old Lady and then Cocky Bitches with Humper. Paul, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Well, it was, I'm not sure if it was music or not, but my parents bought me a little 45 vinyl single of Little Black Sambo that had part one on the A side and part two on the B side, and I wore that thing out. And I don't know if that was musical or not, but then I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan in 64, and that's when I demanded my parents buy me a guitar.
Wow. So there was no instruments in the, they were more listeners and not players?
And my parents were school teachers and accountants.
Okay. So there's like no instruments around the pad. So you,
well, there was a piano and a pump melodeon, but God,
oh, really?
Play piano. Did, you know.
Who played the piano? Your ma? Your pop?
My sister did. Okay. She never got very good at it.
And did you get the lesson thing?
Yeah, I had a really mean guitar teacher when I was 6 years old, and, you know, some gray-haired guy with a mustache that would just berate me for not practicing enough and not having strong enough hands.
But you didn't have to take piano lessons.
No, I tried that once, and it didn't work.
Yeah. A lot of people, if they had piano lessons young, some people almost driven away from music because such bad experiences.
Yeah, it's like going to Catholic school.
Okay, so you're like 6 years old. You see the Beatles. You want a guitar. So, and it was one of those things like if we get you a guitar, you got to take lessons. And that's where the mustache man. How long did you have to endure that?
Well, the first thing they bought me was a $5 toy guitar.
And, oh, like fishing line string.
Yeah, I played the hell out of it until it disintegrated. Then they bought me a real acoustic guitar, and I got my lessons on that.
Okay.
And I played it so much that they broke down finally and got me an electric guitar when I was 7 years old.
Shit. And an amp?
Yeah, it was a Kalamazoo guitar and a Kalamazoo amp.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, all right, like kind of the Gibson Epiphone.
It was expensive at the time because most kids, when they got an electric guitar, they got one that cost $49 from Sears, and mine cost $99, and the amp was an extra $50. So that was a high dollar back then.
Yeah, kind of spendy, fancy. Me and Dee Boone, ours were Tasco. They were $15 pawn shop babies. But you know,
right.
Yeah, you know, in those days, I try to explain to younger people how it was. Music was way more separated from, it's way more easy accessible now, I think, than the earlier days. Okay, Little Black Sambo was the first record you got, but what was the first record you bought yourself?
Well, when I was in junior high school, I would listen to FM radio on the headphones at night while my parents slept, and one night they played Whole Lotta Love, you know, Led Zeppelin. And,
yeah.
I didn't sleep that night. I woke up early and skipped school the next day and took a bus to the mall and went to the record store to buy Led Zeppelin 2. And
yeah.
God damn it, it was $5.99, and all I had was $5. I didn't have enough money to buy the record, and I was really upset. It's like, who charges this much for a record? This is, you know, sacrilege. And so I had to come home and skip school again the next day so that I could, you know, have enough money to buy Led Zeppelin 2, but that was my first.
Okay. Can you remember the first gig you went and saw?
Grand Funk Railroad with Bud Rock. We got kicked out by the, you know, first thing I did was I loaded up a canteen with whiskey, you know, that I stole from my dad, and had my dad drop us off at the back of the arena so that me and Flavio could jump the fence to get in, and we got, you know, kicked out by the police, and I got kicked out by the police at my first two concerts. You know, Grand Funk and Creedence Clearwater Revival was next.
Ah, you got to see Creedence. No, you didn't. They got kicked out.
Got kicked out. But I saw most of the concerts before.
Oh, you
got
did get
out.
To see. Okay, that's great. I saw Grand Funk Railroad with Jay Giles, but Jay Giles blew him away.
Oh, what year was that?
Sometime in the early 70s, 73 or something, like 72 or something like that. Jake Giles wasn't that good on the record. I'm sorry.
Grand Funk was with Blood Rock in 72. That was the concert that I saw.
Okay.
They were outstanding.
Blood Rock was a good band, too. Jake Giles wasn't too good on album, but they were really good at the gigs. Like Black Oak Arkansas was like that. They're... Albums kind of corny and funny, but live they were an incredible band.
Yeah, I saw Black Oak Arkansas live at the Sunken Garden Amphitheater in San Antonio, and they probably smashed 30 guitars during their show.
Right, and they had like three guitar players. Didn't they have one guy who played like electric 12 string or something?
They had everything, and they were in their destruction of guitars.
And the guys would do doolies with slides, the lead guitar guys. And then Jim Dandy had a fucking washboard.
Yeah, well, you're talking Southern rock, man.
Okay. But they were pretty wild. They were a good gig. I remember, and they would do gigs here that were festivals, so you weren't assigned a seat. They were only kind of like free form. Johnny Winter would be like that, too. So, what about at school? Did you get involved with, like, the choir or the marching band or jazz band or shit like that?
Well, I played stage band in high school, which meant playing all kinds of cool swing songs and Latin and all that kind of crap and off of charts that were written by trumpet players and whatnot. So it was always a challenge to try to figure out the notes and the chords.
Oh, yeah, because B flat, E flat, horns.
Yeah, it made it unnecessarily difficult. So you had to, like, learn stuff that you spend the rest of your life trying to forget.
Totally about that. But you got to play, you were doing acoustic guitar?
No, electric guitar.
Okay,
I was electric,
you were doing electric
guitar.
Compared
to stage band.
Okay.
I got to play in my first rock band when I was in elementary school.
How'd that happen?
In 1965, they had talent shows at my elementary school. And so the first year, I teamed up with an older kid, and we played Satisfaction by the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
And played the song. I kept playing and wouldn't stop. And he, like, waved his hand in front of my eyes like I was in a daze or something, and everyone laughed. And so that was a little embarrassing. But I got my revenge the next year when I formed a band, and he had a band, and we had a battle of the bands, and we just... kick their asses.
You tore them up. Good. I want to play Free the People here, okay?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor, open the door. Thank you.
Русская пара, мы закричали, бля, ура, за тебя из Бали. Сижу на нарах, блох ищу, картошку чистить не хочу. Кошмар, we'll be right back.
Watch for Pedro Show. Yep, that's Cocky Bitches doing Free the People. Then brand new from Rotterdam, Netherlands, Stoma with Actual Reality. Petra Hayden, the acapella version of Let Him In. Citizen Klein out of Canada with House of Nil. Chrome, Helios Creed, incredible cat. Fukushima Nagasaki, Pussy Riot after that with Nightmares, Still Houseplants from Glasgow with Strap On, and finally Cocky Bitches with Rocket, which is not the, you spell it different than the Herbie Hancock.
How does Herbie spell it?
I think with an I.
With an I.
Yeah, it was one of those, it was weird kind of robot-y kind of sound. Something in the 90s.
Yeah, we're more about the real Rockets, man.
Okay. Rocket 88, Ike Turner, right? Incredible cat. So did that band at the, that beat, you know, the cat who waved his hand in front of your face, did they have a name?
Hey, we were called the Crowd Pleasers.
Jesus.
And that was not my idea.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to Mark Stewart, you know, where'd you get this name, the pop group? He goes, because that's what we wanted to be. And I was like, he wasn't laughing. I was like, what?
That's a pretty good name.
Yeah. You don't remember those guys? They're like from the late 70s in England. The pop. They are a big influence on Minuteman. Kind of the band that, I don't know, mixed big boys too, you could tell. Kind of funky.
And, you know, I think our very first show in California was opening up for Minuteman and Big Boys.
Absolutely. It was at the Grandia Room on Melrose.
You remember?
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember like it was...
D. Boone was bouncing up and down, and the stage was actually coming apart at the seams.
Right. I remember that gig like it was last night, okay? I remember Gibb, at the end of the night, had a giant jar of Vaseline. He goes, we're going to have fun. There was a big party a couple blocks away. They turned that place into like a new wave place later on called Martini Lounge. But in those days, it was a Mexican chow pad. And yeah, it wasn't really built that strong. D. Boone almost went through the... He did go through the stage in the Satyricon in Portland. Kept playing.
Yeah. I can imagine that.
It didn't stop playing. But that was such a great gig. It was you and Gibb, of course, but then there was two other cats that didn't stay on. One, Quinn the Eskimo.
Yeah, there was Quinn the Eskimo, what? And then his brother, Scott Matthews.
Oh, yeah, I'm talking to Paul right now. We're on the air, so thank you. I got a hold of him. He was just a couple minutes late. It's his first Skype interview ever, so don't worry. Yeah, that's okay, but not on the phone, because he's on right now and we're talking, okay? So you can jump on. If you know about Skype, you can jump on. It'll be like a clusterfuck. Okay. There's a thing. It says join in or some shit in the top of the menu bar. But let me get back to Paul. You can do it. It's easy. It's right there. All right. Okay. It's the other dudes in the band, Paul.
Yeah, they really are excited to talk to you.
Yeah, no problem. So, okay.
It's a sound check to that show that we were talking about in the Brownie Room. I met Robo from Black Flag.
That's right.
And I hung out with him, and I was just like, oh, my God, I'm hanging out with one of the biggest rock stars in the world. You know, I just couldn't believe my fortune. You know, we just left Texas, and next thing you know, we're opening up for the Minutemen and hanging out with Robo, and it's just like, wow, that's it. Just go to California.
Do you know there's a documentary coming? He's living in New Jersey now. He has a family and everything, but there's a these Columbia. You know, that's where he's originally from, was Columbia, right? He ran away from the Colombian army. That's why then he had to leave the band because he couldn't, no passport. So when Flag started touring in England, he couldn't go. He did the first time, but then he had to go, through Mexico or say, he just said it was all tangled up. Anyway, these cats from his home country, Colombia, are making a documentary of him because they're very proud. You know, nobody really knows that the Black Flag guy was from Colombia, you know. He's a great cat, too. I love that man. He's the guy I actually put the pickup in Greg's Dan Armstrong. You know, he put the DiMarzio in there with the, like, Lucite plastic and then wired the cable right into, like, this 20-foot cable. Yeah, us guys, me, D. Boone, Chuck, Greg, we had a big problem with our sweat. It would, like, really destroy the electronics on our basses and guitars. We had foul chemistry or something. So, and is your band members there with us now?
Yes, this is Baroness.
Okay.
And Sam from Sam and Canlis.
Okay. And Paul, you still there? Or did we lose Paul?
Oh, I can't hear Paul.
Yeah, I can't hear
Paul. Oh, he said he got put on hold up after a while.
Oh, he's off. Let me write him real quick. Well, he should come on. Well, how did you meet? Let's talk to you. He can join us.
Okay.
Okay, I'm writing him that now.
Okay. Yeah, use the chat board. Yes. You could write on there.
Okay.
How did you meet Paul, Sam, and Baroness?
We approached him to produce a song for us, and he liked it a lot. It was four-track recordings that Sam and I had put together in Florida, and then I moved to Austin with Sam, and he suggested that he knew how much I liked the Butthole Surfers, and so he suggested we take him to Paul, because he was local, and so we approached him with one song, and he got in touch with us and invited us over to his house, and the rest is history.
Okay. Yeah, we all hit it off so well.
We hit it off really well.
Started jamming.
What was going to be just him helping with one tune turns into a whole proj.
Yeah, definitely. And he ended up recording, Sam and I had been recording on a little track and had spent a lot of time in an empty house, getting the sounds and everything with a wooden floor, and he liked them so much that he ended up kind of wanting to join in, and that was a dream come true.
Whoa, and he's got a studio in his pad. Huh? It says he's calling me right now. Paul, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, Paul. See, now they can't hear me. There's a way of joining in.
Right. Well, whatever we got to do, I don't know. I think I got put on hold there for a minute.
You did. When I went over to your call, then it put them on hold. But there is a way where all of us can talk. But shit, I don't know how to do it. Anyway, they told me how they met you. That they came from Florida and they moved to Austin, and then big Butthole Surfer fans, and so they give you a tune to produce. But you want to do more than just produce. You want to be part of the proj.
Yeah, I kind of wormed my way into the band, for better or worse.
Okay. Hey, let's go back to the Buttholes. How did you, how'd that band get together? Because I don't really know the story.
Well, I was going to Trinity University with Gibby, and we had a common interest in music, and we started listening to, you know, particularly bands like Meat Puppets, and it was like, hell, we can do this, you know, and I think the first Meat Puppets song I heard was called Out in the Gardener.
Oh, yeah. Out in the Gardener.
And it was just mayhem. I mean, there was no structure or anything. It was like a tornado.
Yeah, like, wah!
It's like, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. Right.
We played a couple of art galleries in San Antonio and then decided we were ready for the big time. And that's when we drove out to California and opened up for Minutemen.
And did that gig. Know. Okay. Did you guys ever have another name?
Ashtray Babyheads.
Okay.
And, yeah, we had a bunch of names back in the old days. I think the Vodka Family Winstons. We changed our name every week. We were never the Butthole Surfers until one night Chris Gates from the Big Boys introduced us to the Butthole Surfers. He didn't know what we were that night, so he called us by the one song he could remember, and we got like $50 at the end of the night, and so we was like, hell yeah, we're keeping this name.
Chris was the bass man, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Good band, Big Boys. I remember that gig. You know, I played with Tim Kerr recently. He goes to schools and paints murals and stuff. And we
good job.
Yeah, we do jams with the fifth graders and shit. He's got a good heart, man. Tim Kerr's good people. Damn, I'm sorry about the other two people getting scissored like that. There's got to be a way, though, that we can get a three-way.
You're talking to the wrong dude for technology.
Yeah, I know, and I should know, but...
I'm a little fuzzy anyway. I had that laser lens surgery done on my eyeballs about
a
week ago.
Did it work?
I'm seeing all fuzzy now.
Does it work? Oh, you don't think it's going to work?
Well, it made my eyes better, but, you know, I went from wearing glasses to now I have no glasses, and so I'm fuzzy, so I'm probably going to have to get glasses again, but with a different prescription.
Okay. Because, you know, I've heard people say...
I go in for laser surgery, and they give me the Valium, you know, and I'm turned into Jell-O, and then they take me to the laser room. It's like, oh, the laser's broken. You want to reschedule, or do you want to do it the old-fashioned way with the scalpel? So I went with a scalpel, and I had a guy cutting on my eye with a scalpel.
Oh, that's what I heard, you know, because some people have recommended to me, you got to do this, why? You don't have to wear glasses again. But then I've heard a lot of times it don't work.
Well, my vision was getting bad, you know. I couldn't even read street signs with glasses and stuff like that. So, it's a lot better, but I have a problem with one of my eyes, and so it's never going to be all the way.
Stigmatism.
There's some physical problem with the backside of my eyeball lining, and they had a name for it. I can't remember what it is, but.
Okay, well, look, we're at the end of the first hour of. November 25, 2018, Dishwap Pedro Show special guest, Cocky Bitches, Paul Leary here. Hold tight for hour two. November 25th, 2018, it's the second hour. The Watt for Pedro Show. Thank you.
have it out. I don't care where you fall. Living on booze and filth ain't fun anymore. Baby, let's get out of here.
It is time. It is time. Duty calls. It calls for balls. Every 12 years, the same old song.
She liked the hula hoop on the roof. She liked the hula hoop on the roof. She liked the hula hoop on the roof. She loved beauty and truth.
Watch for Pedro Show. We start off the second hour with Cocky Bitches doing Ela Mora. We have to check with Baroness about that because I think she came up with the title. Then Kevin Loop with Witch Brigade. No, Witch Bridges. Sorry. The Milo Men, brand new from Zagreb, Disappear. Main title sequence from Morgan Delp. King Champion Sounds. Bread Lines and Deadlines. Tashiwada and Yoshiwada, that's father, son, and friends. Ground. Dan Jones with Real Cool Couple. And finally, Jump, Jane Crow. Cocky Bitches. Okay, so now you got a studio in your pad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Because they were telling me they were like working on some little four track or something, and then you said, "Hey, bring the thing in."
Yeah, we recorded the Cocky Bitches Mercy album at our rehearsal space in Austin. I had one of those mobile Pro Tools rigs, and I would just take it in every day and just hit the record button and record for 3 hours a day, and did that for several years, and then just pulled the gems out of there.
Oh, so you've been working on this a while.
Yeah, long time.
Okay. So from all the jams, you had to like, what's that, the chaff? Wheat from the chaff? Or something. That, you know,
yeah,
Double Nickels on the Dime, we had four sides, right? So side D, side Georgie, side Watt. And then for the fourth side, we called it side chafe. Like the shit.
Yeah.
No, because we didn't know how to put 45 songs in order. So we thought everybody would pick the best songs for their sides, and then what was left over would go onto the fourth side. You know, Ethan James mixed that motherfucker one night.
Yeah, that's the way, how you did it back then.
Yeah. I mean, they were little songs.
It's been years working on something, and it doesn't make it any better.
You know, I'll tell you about that, because when the CDs came out, oh, let's make a CD version. Okay, hey, here's a chance we could remix it. The remix was terrible. There's about 300 CDs of that mix, which is the best one is the one that Ethan did in that one night.
Yeah, the one night. Yeah, we recorded our first EP and mixed it all in one day.
Wow, the one with Pee Pee the Sailor? Angela's label, right?
Yeah,
That's a great fucking record.
We just thought, you know, you go in the morning and you come out and later in the afternoon with a finished album, and had no idea the amount of work that went into making that stuff.
Well, you did at that gig. Either you or Gibb gave me a cassette, and it had stuff like Barbecue Pope. I mean, they were, it was before you did that record with Jella, but it had Barbecue Pope and that kind of stuff. Actually, on that gig, it was much different version. You sang like half the tunes. Gibb did a lot of sax. Yeah.
We kind of all traded off instruments, you know.
Yeah.
I think I even took a spin on the drums for a couple of songs.
And who was the drummer? Was it Ray Washam then?
No.
Okay.
No, our drummer was Scott Matthews, who's passed away.
Ah, nice guy. I remember him. And I remember the young guy on the bass, Quinn. I remember you called him Quinn the Eskimo.
Brother.
Oh, that was his brother?
After that gig, Scott Matthews spent the next 2 weeks trying to get on that show, The Joker's Wild, that game show.
Okay.
And he just abandoned us. And so we were like, we'd rented a place to live above a carpet store on Pico Street, just south of the convention center.
No, it's Pico Boulevard.
Pico Boulevard.
The Pico... That this guy that's named after, he was the last Mexican governor of California.
Oh, they need to bring him back.
That's right. That's when the capital was Monterey. But what you rented a, what was it? What kind of space?
Oh, it was just some weird space above a carpet store. I don't even think it was meant to be lived in. It was horrible. And there were people crawling through our windows at night. And,
oh, shit.
Yeah, it was gnarly. We had to get out. And then shortly after we left there, a tornado came to town and blew the roof off of that place.
Fuck. A tornado? That's pretty rare here.
Tornado in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's really rare. Look, I want to play the song Sex Machine. did Jim Brown inform this version? It's not a version, right? You know you can't copyright a title.
No, no. And I think it's The Sex Machine.
Oh, okay. Then I've got it down wrong. I got to correct that. Here, listen, people. The Sex Machine from Cocky Bitches.
I'm a sexy machine. Snowflakes. Life is the best thing on earth. How you feel about that is your business. I, for one, love the feeling. Everything is in a good round circle. It is the most frightening thing. I will travel far to see this. As I have faith before God, I will welcome this process. I would like to see some of the other side. I have been waiting for it all along. For now, I love my mother. Long hours pass during the day. I do my best to keep myself alive. I have learned how to live right. Now I am strong for her. It just happens to be Alzheimer's. What little bit I can do helps a lot. Now I just count the hours. Memories are made of this. Blast of chem of anger and of love. The staff at the hospice is the best. Time is more precious than money. I have learned before it is too late. It is all the great leveler. When it comes down to it, we really are all the same. Let us open up that door. I believe that we are all welcome.
Thank you. seduction and pain. No use for the brain. This must be right. If it's pleasant this way, this holiday must turn into a permanent stay. It's the only way to live day by day. But it's okay. Like a wall without paint, no glossy shine, just paint. The more time we wait, the more it becomes great. As the clock recites the rhythm of time.
Watch for Pedro Show. That was Sex, The Sex Machine from Cocky Bitches. From Baltimore after that with Mold Omen doing Extinction Cinema number one. Joe Brewer, that Saccharine Trust singer, Jack Brewer's cousin, and Madison. I just made a 7-inch with Bucky Pope from Madison. Remember that SST band Tar Babies? Great cat.
Yeah.
Oh, good God, Bucky. And Deep Freeze Part 1 from the Healers out of Illinois. And finally, Hand in Fire, Cocky Bitches. You know, that makes perfect sense on how, because the material on the Cocky Bitches record is pretty diverse. So, yeah, you guys went out there and do all these jams and stuff. And so, yeah, would you call them jams?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're plucking out the I think Georgie would have said, you know, like kind of picking out the corn.
Yeah, that's the second harvest.
Turns with corn in them. I think that was the name of a band we played with.
You're familiar with the Kuiltika Indians of Texas, aren't you?
Well, I've heard of them.
They lived out in the desert, and they would collect all their shit in a big bin, and then when times would get tough, they would go through the bin and pick out the unscathed kernels of corn, and that was their second harvest.
Oh, shit.
Waste stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like at the, I heard too, like at truck stops, you know, people trying to get double dip on the methamphetamine piss jugs, you know.
Hey, hey.
You know, you talk about a Jones, right? I mean, there's Jones and then there's fucking Jones.
Yeah, I could be drinking piss for mushroom juice or something, but not for meth.
And there's some kind of civet cat with the beans, coffee
yeah,
beans, and you pluck them out of the turds.
Yeah, I think that was in a movie, wasn't it, with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson?
No, I didn't know, but it's like $100 a pound, or it's like real, like, spendy.
Yeah, and that, more money doesn't always mean better. Not if you have to pull it out of a piece of shit to get to it.
<I know. laughs> Absolutely. Absolutely. So... After you pluck the gems, stay on target here. How long did you kind of have to? It was a matter of editing, right? You know, I'm talking about like on the corner by Miles and that stuff where there was big jams. Did you do stuff like that, or did you just use that as a kernel for new rehearsals or practice?
It was usually, the only time we ever played a song was when we recorded it in a jam.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. And then after the fact, you're putting it together.
Sometimes we'd work on the vocals or refine them down and stuff like that. And then a lot of time was spent with me just trying to learn how to mix. I mean, mixing is freaking hard.
Yeah. You know what's really hard that I found is... getting the mix to sound good, but then when you take it out of that room, it also sounds good.
Well, yeah, that's the whole...
Because you can have mixes that are only good for that room. So the test I use is the boat, the Econoline. If it sounds good in there, it's like, whoa, maybe it'll sound good in other people's pads. Or even
it gets harder than that, because you can mix it to where it sounds good in your room, and then the next morning it'll sound terrible in the same room.
Oh, yeah, that too. Okay, even in the same room.
You know, your ears get worn out after a while. It just, like, it doesn't work anymore.
Oh, yeah, beat up. Also, I think some frequencies, because we've done a lot of gigs, so those places are missing in our hearing frequency, so we kind of overmix them, boost them.
Yeah, that's...
That problem.
You know, I've been wearing prescription earplugs for 20 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom was an audiologist, and she always demanded that I take care of my ears. So
yeah.
I think we were opening for Pearl Jam somewhere, and their monitors were so loud that all of a sudden I was hearing telephones ringing everywhere all through the night, and it scared the hell out of me. So I got prescription earplugs, and I've been in those ever since.
Was it tinnitus?
Yeah.
Yeah, Roger Miller, the Burma guy's got that.
It's not fun. So,
No. The voices in my head, yeah. People, we're at the end of the second hour, November 25, 2018 edition of WAP Pedro Show. Special guest, Paul Leary, the cocky bitches. Hold tight for hour three. November 25th, 2018, it's the third hour of the WAP for Pedro Show.
You squeeze into my eyes. between the lines, something's not being said. 'Cause your eyes tell a story and your heart is beating dead. Should I believe you? Should I believe you? Stay on the field, hearing the lies that were being said. A tangle of honey grows inside of me, twisting what you say. Should I believe you? Between the lines, something's not being said. 'Cause your eyes tell a story and your heart is beating dead. Should I believe you? Should I believe you? Should I believe you? Should I believe you?
Walk in fear one of another. We will not be driven by fear into an age of unreason. If we dig deep in our history and our doctrine and remember that we are not descended from fearful men, not from men who feared to write, to speak, to associate and defend causes that were, for the moment, unpopular.
Walk for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with Produce. Cocky Bitches. Then Bata Batul Frunzella from Clunk. Bonsai Universe with Should I Believe You? And Ghostspiel from Sun Watchers and Eugene Chadbourne. Mr. Chadbourne. What was that band? Psychobilly, right? He used to play the Rake. Electric
Wheel. Yeah, the Rake and the Birdcage.
And the Birdcage. All right.
Yeah, the Birdcage would go over the head and the door to the Birdcage would slam shut over their face.
Right. Beautiful. Listeners out there, it's not just Paul with me. We also got Baroness and Sam, all of us together.
Yes.
And so My voice is echoing like a motherfucker, so I want you three to talk about how you feel about the record, Mercy.
Well, you know me, I have no feelings about anything.
We're super excited to get it out. And
when it come out, Friday?
Yeah, Black Friday.
Okay. And
getting a lot of good feedback.
Really? That quick? That's fucking happening. Yeah. What about, are you going to bring it on the road? You don't tour much anymore, Paul, right?
No, it's, I got tired of that crap.
Okay. So there's no dog and pony show for this album.
We'll see.
We're leaving the possibilities open.
We're open to making some videos.
Yeah.
Oh, really? God, that kind of became a lost art, huh? Remember there was a time when bands were spending more on the video than they did on the record?
They don't do that anymore?
Well, I don't know what they do. Who are they? Because that whole thing kind of...
I never knew who they were. When we were on Capitol, I know they spent a ton of money making videos.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. Nowadays, what is that? That whole racket, right? It got all tore up by, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think Cold, we did like $400,000 video.
$400,000 video.
Damn. Crazy.
And they took it all out of your share, right?
Yeah. We somehow recouped that.
God damn. What a trough. You know, people ask me, "Oh, aren't you sad about the decline of the industry?" And I said, "Yeah, my heart bleeds pink lemonade." So, you know, interesting about you talking about doing videos, because the last album the Captain Beefheart did, I Screamed for Crow, Cliff Martinez was a drummer. He never got to do one gig. The Captain just did one video, and that was it. He never made music again. He painted. Now,
that's the dream.
Yeah, but Paul, you still want to do music. You just don't want to do the dog and pony thing.
No, I don't even want to do music.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to be a painter. That'd be a blast.
Really? Do you do any painting yourself?
Yeah, I've done a few, but I've got a bunch of art supplies in my closet that have been sitting there for about 10 years now.
Some sort of a group art show together, because we all paint.
Yeah, oh, you guys are too. Oh,
really, wow. Cocky Bitches art show.
You know, D. Boom was a painter. Joe Biza. Yeah, think about it. A lot of people. Look, the record's called Mercy, and I want to play the title song. Why did you call the record Mercy?
Since I felt like whoever listened to it needed mercy.
Walk for Pedro show, last music, Mercy, Cocky Bitches, Ego versus Ego, The Father Figures. That's got Mike from Jodie Foster Army. Yurt from Dublin with The Fear of All Sums. David Gerard out of Massachusetts with Bewitching Hour. And finally, Burn Baby Burn. Baroness is a favorite tune. Cocky Bitches. What about it, you know, this experience, you guys making this record together, and some young, you meet young people want to get in this fucking dealio. What would advice?
Law school.
I don't know, you play music because you love music. And that's the thing. If you don't have the passion and love for music, it's like you shouldn't be doing it.
That's good. Baroness?
Yeah. Keep trying. Keep trying and do it because your heart's in it. Because you want to make...
Okay.
My advice would just be to burn your bridges, because otherwise it's too easy to fall back on whatever it was.
Right. You know?
Come in
for this. Make sure there's no plan B.
Make sure. Yeah, there cannot be a plan B.
Okay. Yeah. Let's put on the hair shirts. Put on the fucking hair. Look, it's been a great honor for me to have you guys aboard. I love this record. Is there going to be a Cocky Bitches number two?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to start working on that right away.
Like less mercy or more mercy? Or I think what you guys got going.
We may go country western on the next one.
Okay.
Right.
Where was that band?
Another band called the Killmalls.
Where was that band John Wayne from? Remember that album Texas Funeral?
Well, I thought they were from Texas because they had the Texas
song. Well, Texas Funeral, yeah. That record was so fucking funny.
Yeah, it was great. Whiskey in Texas.
Yeah, well, like almost all the tunes had Texas in their titles, but just the whole vibe of it, you know, as a producer in the booth. And that kind of shit. Jimbo put my amp back in the trunk. I remember we had memorized that record. But, I'm looking forward. I'm not going to get to see you live because you all want a tour, but I'm going to wait for the videos, and I'm going to wait for chapter two.
We may.
Okay.
We're leaving the possibilities open. We may convince Paul yet.
That would be bitchy. Bring him back to California. Bring him back to, you guys can come to Pedro, and I'll show you around.
Awesome.
Really though, please keep on keeping on.
Is you play bass on something?
Bass, sure. I know a little bass.
Yeah, we'd love to have you on bass.
Oh, fuck yeah! I'm doing
so a little bass.
Anyway, great honor to have all three of you aboard. Please keep on keeping on, but keep that keel in the water, people.
Mug, it's fantastic to talk to you again after all these years, man. I love you, buddy.
Yeah, I love you too. Right back, people. It's been May. November 25, 2018, Dish and Pedro Show. Special guest, Cocky Bitches. Keep your powder dry.